Explore and remember several facets of God's forgiveness with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Flowing from the Cross at issuesetc.org. Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
The Ten Commandments explicitly tell us, honor your father and your mother, and that doesn't change even with their death, even after our parents are dead and our ancestors are long gone.
So the psalmist lets all of this out with any inclination that he would take things into his own hand. This is really key. He trusts in God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Okay, it's yours. Take it, God.
It really breathed life back into me as I thought about the reality of God doing something outside of myself, not only in the waters of baptism, but as I commune with him at the Lord's table.
Hello, this is Tyler and
Christina Helfert
in Iowa.
Newlyweds on their honeymoon. Love listening to Issues Etc. while sitting by the fire.
The book of Hebrews tells us, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. It is by faith that Moses' life was spared after he had been born. The king's edict was that all firstborn sons, all sons of the Israelites, should be thrown into the river, should be killed by the midwives. Why did he issue this edict, and how did this Moses, whose parents acted in faith to hide him for 3 months, how did he grow to become, well, the end of that book tells us, the greatest prophet who has ever lived? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. Pastor Ted Geese joins us after that. We're going to talk about season 2 of Disney Plus's TV series called The Mandalorian. He finds a theme there that Christians might find interesting. Then Pastor Will Whedon joins us for the second hour. Our series, The Words of Scripture, continues. We'll be talking about righteousness in the Psalms, in Proverbs, and in the Old Testament prophets. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
And a good day to you.
The last time we talked, we were discussing Joseph and the end of Joseph's life. We're now 300 years down the line, maybe more, and what has changed for Jacob's descendants in Egypt?
The death of Joseph ends Genesis, the book of Genesis. That's part of the Pentateuch, which refers to five books, the first five books of the Bible written by Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And when Joseph dies, just before he does, he tells his people that they will be visited by God, and they will be returned to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And so what happens, the death of Joseph results, when he is 110 years old, results in him being embalmed and put in a coffin in Egypt. But then, hundreds of years later, when they return to Canaan, Joseph is taken in the coffin. But 300 years after the death of Joseph, it indicates that all of the descendants of Jacob, the brothers, had died. And I found it interesting. Enduring Faith told me something I was unaware of. There's a Hebrew title for the word Exodus, and it means these are the names. And it's identical to Genesis 46, verse 8, which begins with a list of Jacob's sons. And so also does Exodus. Now, the English title Exodus is referring to Israel's departure from Egypt. But it starts off with the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. And there were a whole bunch of persons, including Joseph. But when he died and all his brothers and all that generation, they were living in the land of Goshen in Egypt, where they were doing farming. Egyptians didn't really appreciate farming that much, so they didn't mind the Israelites doing it. But over the years, the children of Israel became so abundant in numbers that the land began to be filled with them. And 300 years after the death of Joseph, about, there arose a new pharaoh over Egypt, and he was unaware of what Joseph had really done during the famine of 7 years. And he said to his people, "Wow, people, the children of Israel, they're becoming stronger than we are. We need to deal wisely with them, because if we ever go to war with someone, they may join our enemies and fight against us. And so we have to do something about that." So they set what's called taskmasters. These were individuals assigned by Pharaoh to make the Israelites work, and afflicted them with many burdens. In fact, they built for Pharaoh two cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more that they were afflicted, the more they grew in numbers. And the Egyptians became in dread of the children of Israel. So they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. They were working with brick and all kinds of manner of service in the field, but they became even stronger. So Pharaoh spoke to the Hebrew midwives. Now, midwives are nurses that usually attend the birth of a pregnant woman who's giving birth to a child. And the two of them were Shiphrah and Puah. And here's what Pharaoh told them. "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then allow her to live." Verse 17, this is the first chapter of Exodus. It says the midwives feared God. And that's just a way of saying they trusted in God and did not do what Pharaoh commanded them to do, but they saved the male children. So the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he called to the midwives and say, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children?" And they lied to Pharaoh. Verse 19, "Well, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, because they give birth before we even get to their house." In other words, the baby is already born. Now, verse 20, this is Exodus writing, Moses saying, "Therefore God dealt well with the midwives because of their trust in him, and the people continued to multiply, and they grew very mighty. And for the midwives, because of their trust in God, it says that God in verse 21 provided households also for them." So finally, Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And it is at that point that we are now introduced to the family of Moses.
I started out by reading that brief passage from the book of Hebrews where it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months." There's no doubt here that Moses' parents, unnamed though they are trusting God, aren't they?
Yes. In fact, what you quoted was verse 2 of chapter 2, that a man of the house of Levi, he married a daughter of Levi. And she conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. And so they were able to keep the child in their house, but as he was growing older, she could no longer hide him. So she made, and the word in the Hebrew is the same for Noah. She made an ark of bulrushes for him. Same word for Noah's ark in the Hebrew. And she put asphalt on it and pitch, put the child in this kind of small boat, and laid this ark in the reeds by the river's bank. And she also sent her daughter, which we would be the sister of Moses, to stand kind of afar off and see what would be done to Moses.
So this is the occasion for Moses to, in essence, be adopted into the family of Pharaoh. How does that happen?
Yes, it just so happened, and a lot of people think these are coincidences. No, they're not. God set this up, that the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river, and her maidens, who were affiliated with the daughter, kind of watching her, were walking along the riverside, and they saw the ark among the reeds, and she sent her maid to get the ark. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and the baby was weeping. So she had compassion on him, and even says, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then the sister of Moses, unknown to Pharaoh's daughter, came up to her and said, "Well, I can go and get a woman who can nurse this child, that she may nurse the child for you." And verse 8, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the sister went, and she got her child, the mother of Moses. And Pharaoh's daughter said to the mother, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And as he grew to a certain age, the mother brought Moses back to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And it's Pharaoh's daughter who called him Moses, which means drawn out, because she says in verse 10, "I'm calling him Moses because I drew him out of the water." And so this kind of finishes the area that the Sunday school was looking at, but now we need to start talking about how do we apply this to the children in Sunday school.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Explore and remember several facets of God's forgiveness with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Flowing from the Cross at IssuesETC.org. Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040 or IssuesETC.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Mustard Seed and Leaven, Parable of the Weeds Explained, three more kingdom parables, treasures new and old, and the beheading of St. John the Baptist. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Sanctifying your homeschooling with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church.
At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses with Pastor Tom Baker. Here's a little bit from the Enduring Faith Sunday School curriculum on this very lesson. When we are afraid, we can trust God to protect us and help us. We can read His promises in His Word. We can ask for help from friends and family that God has given us. A little application of the story of Moses' birth from the Enduring Faith Sunday School curriculum produced by Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call and they'll send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Tom, it's good to note here that God is fulfilling a promise. Sometimes Moses is such a big figure in Scripture that we kind of take a break from, or we think we're taking a break from the storyline, but God is still fulfilling that promise made to Abraham, isn't he?
Yes. In fact, at the end of the book of Genesis, and I read that, Joseph says that the people will be brought out of this land of Egypt to the land of which God swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So I think the most important point is, why is it necessary for Moses to be born, put into the position he was? Well, we learn this later on. It is he whom God used to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt through the Red Sea, 40 years in the wilderness, and then into the land of Canaan, even though Moses himself was not allowed to go in, but the fulfillment of that promise. Now, why is that so important? Because there is a line from Adam all the way down to Jesus, and it goes through the sons of Jacob and the 12 tribes, etc. And everything is about when the fullness of time comes, then Jesus Christ appears on the scene. So a lot of people think, oh, these are all coincidences. You know, the Pharaoh's daughter was there by the water in order to find the ark with Moses in it. No, these aren't coincidences. These are God's workings to make sure that his promises that lead to Jesus Christ are important. And so the other thing that I think the Enduring Faith does a good job on is it ties the story of Moses to the promises of God that we too will be taken care of by God throughout our lives. And those are the promises of God. Now, some people will say, now, wait a minute. We just heard that you're going to be talking about John the Baptizer, who was beheaded. The disciples, except for one, seem to have been martyred. What does it mean that God is still taking care of us? And the material has Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9. For my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so also are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In fact, I made a point on the radio broadcast I have, Law and Gospel, that there is nothing that is so obvious in Christian doctrine that it doesn't necessitate faith to understand it. Apart from faith, the Bible is a closed book, and people misread much of what is going on. For example, today, there are people, when they go to the university, they expect to go to a safe place. And what has that turned into? It's turned into universities that will not allow certain speakers to come because it upsets various students when they, for example, hear that there is such a thing as abortion, sins, and homosexuality, etc. So these people are told not to come because the university is supposed to be a safe place. But the university should be a place where all points of view are extolled. When the Bible talks about you being in safety, it doesn't mean that you won't be persecuted or you won't become angry with other people's points of view, but that God's promises will always be in effect for you, regardless of your experience. So those of us who have had loved ones die, say in accidents, as we look back at that, we may not understand why God made the decision he did, but we know it was for the good of those who died and are in heaven, and for our good, so we can be comforted, so we do not weep as those who have no hope. So this Exodus story is really wonderful because the mother of Moses put her child out on the water, not knowing what was going to happen, but sent the daughter to look at a far-off distance to see what God was going to do next. And who imagined that Moses would then be nursed by his own mother for a time and then become the most important prophet to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?
With about a minute here, Tom, is there a hint of baptism in this story that the teachers could use to remind the Sunday school children of theirs?
Very good, because the word, as I said, that Moses was placed into this kind of boat is the word for ark. And where do we hear that? We hear that with Noah, that he built this ark. And Peter talks about that many were saved, and he likens it to baptism. So in baptism, we are, by the waters that God gives us, we are now protected from our enemies, protected from the devil. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him, and it is all due to the work and mission of Jesus Christ, who died so that we will never really die, and who lives so that we live eternally.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much for your time.
And thank you.
We will be looking at the first episode of Season 2 of Disney Plus's TV series, The Mandalorian, with Pastor Ted Geese. On the other side of the break, Pastor Geese teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Why is this series catching on not only with the old-time Star Wars fans, but people who never really had that in their life? We'll be right back. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
I'm Pastor Watson. Are you tired of entertainment and in need of the peace that passes human understanding? I invite you to Augsburg Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Kansas, to receive the gifts of Jesus. Augsburg is scriptural, traditional, historical, sacramental, and reverent. The Church of the Apostles, the Councils, and the Reformers wants to be your church family also. For more information, visit us at augsburglutheranchurch.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com. That is lutheracademy.com.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The world is filled with darkness now. It's maybe darker than it's ever been before.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Adam Kuntz.
The reason to come to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to study to be a pastor is so that the light of Christ can shine that much more brightly. It's not a time for retreat. It's not a time for hiding. It's a time to hear the Lord's call and to come out and to serve Him, to shine His light into very dark places in people's souls, in people's lives, throughout our nation and throughout the world.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.